I'm Jackie Robertson.
I'm Joy Barnes.
And we are Between the Jays.
Well, fall is here.
Fall is here, and it's actually feeling fall-like outside.
I know. I just don't want winter-like.
Well, you still have some time. It's not going to happen just yet.
I hope so.
Just yet.
I don't like wearing sweatshirts.
I love wearing sweatshirts.
I know.
I love when it's just like a little bit chilly.
Mm-hmm. Just a little crisp.
Just a little crisp.
So,
but it also means that there's all these great events coming up this fall.
I know. We're in that holiday season of Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas all combined.
Happy Merry Thanksmas.
Yes. Yes. And all that is already out, so you can't decide which holiday that you want to celebrate and when. So I guess we could just decorate for all three at one time.
Do you know, I showed a house the other day and they already had Merry Christmas in lights on their roof. It wasn't on, but I mean, you could make it out in the middle of
the day. I've been to some places where there's Christmas lights that are 12 months out of the year.
I know. Yeah, that happens.
That means there's no covenants in the neighborhood.
All right, well, let's talk about some events coming up, and then we will get to our guest.
All right.
So, in the month of October, there are all kinds of things going on. The month is going to kick off at the Wadsworth. Lee Bryce, if you aren't familiar with him, he sang the song, One of Those Girls.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad we, Googled that. So, Google that, and you'll know who he is.
His concert is going to be at the Wadsworth October 6th. You can get tickets, and it's going to benefit Habitat for Humanity.
Awesome.
Yes. And then there is the next, there's a couple big things that are all going to happen the same weekend. One is Spirit and Spice, which is going to be the chili cook-off.
Which is, October. I love to cook chili.
It's October 21st.
I just don't know how I would cook 5 gallons of chili. So if anyone out there wants to team up and cook chili together, just let me know.
All right.
I have a great recipe, but I don't use the same one every time. So,
of all your chilies, my favorite is the chicken chili.
Yeah. Yep. It's really good.
That's one of my favorites. But if cooking chili is not your thing, the very same weekend, Oak Hill Cemetery Tour, the first weekend of that will be also on October 21st.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things to do in Noonan, because I learned so much about the people that are resting in Oak Hill Cemetery. So I just love to hear the history, because I always learn. I mean, we're from here. Our guest is from here. We'll introduce him soon. But we just know all the stories that we hear and the people that we knew and who was the foundation and the pillar of the community way back when. So it's really fun to hear about that.
It is. And there's just so many really cool stories, too. Mm-hmm. And it's neat that those stories don't get lost.
Yes.
Even though those people have passed.
Yes.
If you miss it on the 21st, you can go back on the 27th of October. Mm-hmm. And I believe you can probably find your tickets on Eventbrite through the Historical Society.
Yes.
So be looking there.
I still
need
to get my tickets.
Yes.
Before they sell out.
You do. Mm-hmm. But it looks like you need to go on the 27th, not the 21st, because you're going to be making chili.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, and then Munchkin Masquerade. We will be out there in downtown Noonan, passing out candy that day.
To all 3,000 of the children.
Yes.
And then Halloween downtown Noonan is always eventful, because it just comes alive on College, Temple. I mean, it's a huge Halloween party over there.
It is. And it's worth doing at least once. Mm-hmm. We did it with Aiden and Brock one time when they were little. And it was worth coming down and doing it.
Right.
Because
you
need to experience that. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the larger neighborhoods get pretty active at Halloween.
Yeah, for sure. So, fun season.
Anyway, so that covers what's happening in October. Our guest will talk about one more event that's going on, too, that he's a part of. But do you want to introduce our guest today?
Sure. We, in the market, the current market, there's a lot of movement and things going on with the interest rates. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to have one of our local lenders on, Skin Edge. He's with Fairway Mortgage. He's just going to talk to us about what he's got going on and suggestions on real estate market, creative financing, and all of the above. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me on.
So it is a tough time for buyers out there.
It is. It's an interesting market, both from a, as Joy mentioned, an interest rate standpoint and also an inventory standpoint. Rates have been a little higher than we've been accustomed to for, about a year and a half now. Right now they're high sixes with a point, low sevens with no points is kind of where we're quoting it. Houses have appreciated so much that a lot of people feel like they're not only paying a high interest rate, but mm-hmm. they're paying, you know, too much for a house with all of the demand and the little supply we have. So it's really tough for first-time homebuyers. It's tough for people who want to downsize. So it's, you can almost say there's a little bit of gridlock there, that these people who have rates in the twos and the threes that mm-hmm. either bought or refinanced during COVID, you know, it's tough for them to swallow the sevens or the sixes. You know, the goal or the hope, you know, if the Fed would do something, is to get those rates down to somewhere in the fives, high fives, and I think that would open a lot of, open up a lot of the traffic jam and free some inventory up. And, you know, on my end, you know, a lot of refinance work would happen, because most everybody the last 2 years that I've worked with has been, you know, in the sixes and the sevens. So that's what I'm seeing. Like I said, tough first-time home buyers. A lot of our clients now are people who have gotten relocated for work, or mm-hmm. they've outgrown their current house with having a new child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, that's basically what we're seeing out there.
So what are, though, for because like you said, life is still going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are still going to need to move, whether it's job or death or a divorce or something, or a new addition to the family. So what are some strategies that buyers can use in trying to buy right now?
Yeah, one we've been using a lot, and Joy and I have talked about this recently, is what's called a 2-1 buy down. And without getting too in detail, it essentially benefits both the seller and the buyer. So it's ideal for a listing that has been on the market for a little longer than the seller has wanted and the listing agent has wanted. And what they can do is pay, you know, out of their proceeds, depending on the loan amount of the buyer, they pay money for the buyer to get an interest rate 2 points below market. So, for instance, I send these to agents all the time, and they can put it in their listing in MLS. If the loan amount is, say, $400,000 for the buyer, the seller could bring $9,000 to the table versus to do the 2-1 buy down. The buyer gets the benefit of a much cheaper monthly payment in that first year. In the second year, it'd be 5.99, and the goal would be to refinance before you got to year three, so you're never seeing that market rate. And it looks a lot better for a seller, you know, to offer that in a listing, in my opinion, versus doing a price reduction. And at the end of the day, they net the same exact thing. Right. So that's mm-hmm. we've been doing a lot of that, especially on newer construction, which I know y'all both do a lot of. Mm-hmm. And so buy downs have been big for us.
Yeah, because, you know, and the builders, they like to keep their price points up there. And if it's reflective in the buy down, it's a better scenario for them. And so many people have equity in their houses that they're selling and moving, and they can utilize, like you said, what would be a price reduction to buy the rate down.
Yep.
And it's beneficial for everyone.
Yep.
Right. When I know none of us have a crystal ball, and we don't know what the future is going to bring, but do you feel like, from what you're hearing, that rates may come down in the next 12 months?
I think so. I mean, everything I read was, you know, at the beginning of this year was what was supposed to happen by the end of this year. You know, of course, we had some things happen that caused that not to happen. You know, the Fed kept raising rates. We had some bank failures. You know, some economic reports came back. And most importantly, jobs that look good on paper, but I don't think are very accurate. You know, the way for rates to come down, unfortunately, is for us to have a little economic pain, right? Now, the Fed did not raise their rate today. They usually do that. They've done that 11 times in the past 18 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. So that shows you that what they're doing in terms of their tightening and getting inflation down is working. It's still higher than they want it to be. They want it to be 2.5%. It's right now 3.5%. But in last November it was 9, right? So, you know, I think we're going to have a little bit more unfortunate economic pain, but I would like to think end of first quarter, early second quarter next year, getting rates down to the hopefully low sixes, 5% level, like I was talking about earlier, that can open up the floodgates a little bit.
I think
5%, if they would just keep it at that all the time, that's a good middle of the road.
No,
you can't do that.
But
you know, 2% and 3%. Just...
My parents' first mortgage interest rate was 18%. You know, now the house was probably like $80,000, but COVID spoiled everybody, right? And to me, the sticker shock on the rates has almost worn off, and the inventory is more of a problem than anything.
Right.
And so we need more new construction. But the rate, once again, people will be more apt to move if they're only paying 2 points higher than four.
But, you know, we still have a lot of cash buyers.
Yep.
So that helps things move along.
And a lot of that is because they have so much equity.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, somebody that bought 8 or 9 years ago, their house is probably worth double.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, and I think the difference, too, versus the last couple years, at least for buyers, that's a positive, is you're not out there competing with 25 other offers right now.
Like it was 9 months ago.
Right. Yeah. And you don't have, sellers are more willing to take contingencies because...
Give some seller credits.
Yeah. Yeah. Sellers are more willing to work with buyers right now. And I think in a VA environment, it's definitely better than it was... A year and a half ago.
Offer situation was driven by, you know, the realtors. I mean, obviously, when you list a house, you want your seller to get the most that they can. But, you know, I wanted to say what happened to the time limits on the offers. Because we were saying, okay, we're going to show this house for 5 days and we're going to look at all offers on this day. And, you know, it just created a lot of, I don't know, urgency for people to go and see it. And then you had to say, are they cash? Are they VA? Are they FHA? And it just was like creating a lot of havoc, in my opinion. So now I feel like we're more in a normal market.
It's back to where it was.
Yeah. And it's more like a buyer's market now versus a seller's market, in my opinion, because, you know, we're seeing price improvements every day.
And houses sitting on the market for longer periods of time. You know, they were sitting on there for 2 days and people had to make an offer as soon as they left their showing if they wanted to have a chance to get it. And that was hectic times for us as a lender.
Right.
You know, getting these people pre-qualified very quickly, getting their information very quickly, getting y'all a pre-qual letter very quickly so you can write your offer quickly.
Yes.
Otherwise, you didn't have a shot.
So, I mean, I think we're realistically, I think we're back to probably a 3 to 6 month window, which is what it was all. I mean, I've been doing this 22 years, and that's what it's mainly always been up
it's
until
cyclical,
the past.
Yeah.
Well,
it's what
and
we
that,
signed up for.
That is what. So, I mean, when you do have a house that isn't selling and it's almost 30 days, I mean, it's like everyone thinks there's something wrong, but there isn't really anything because things are more normal. Like
well, and I think we have that showing time app. So I used to hate that when it first came out. I was like, there's no personalization. You don't get to talk to the agent. But then now it's just like such a time saver. I love it. But when I list a house, I just like sit there and wait. Is showing time going to call? And then if it doesn't show, you know, if it doesn't call really, and I'm like, maybe we're overpriced. And, you know, it just makes you, you know, think about, you know, if you don't get an offer right away, are we overpriced? Because that's the way it was in the previous.
Well, and it's tough. I'm sure on y'all's end, it's probably as tough as ever to price houses right now if you go to a listing appointment. I mean, you've seen so much appreciation in the market. Appraisals, for the most part, have kept up with it. You know, you don't want to underprice it. So I bet it's very hard right now to find comps that have sold very, very recently as fast as the market's changed.
Well, it's like we were talking about.
It's just an assumption on my end.
Like a big neighborhood like Lake Redwine we were talking about. Yeah. I mean, it's just all over the board.
Well, and that and that was challenging even before the last couple of years. But you're right. I mean, when you have the larger neighborhoods like Lake Redwine or Summer Grove or any of those bigger ones, and you have such a broad stroke of houses and sizes and finishes and all of those things, that's what's always made it somewhat challenging when you're pricing a house.
Well, and you know, sometimes it's hard to tell people if their house is 5 years old and then you've got a new construction that you lose to because these cabinets were white, these countertops were granite, these were you know, all the upgrades kind of come into play, and it's almost like you have to pull up the listings and look at all the photos to compare why this is one price and why this is the other price. So it does make it challenging at times when you're pricing. But then a lot of times people will just say, I want to move my house, I'm ready to sell it, and they've got a lot of equity. And
it depends on their motivation, and they might have something already under contract, and they got to get out of there.
But you don't want to leave any money at the table. However, sometimes my question is, well, what would you like to walk away with? But then you feel like, I'm not giving you an actual price.
You're back at
the bottom line. This is the bottom line that I want to do. And I said, if you're truly wanting to sell it, put it at that price.
Yeah, you know, another thing that buyers can do, I just did one that closed last week, is if you want to make your offer more competitive and you can qualify with both mortgage payments, don't sell your house first. Use cash on the minimum amount of down payment, which can be as little as 3%. This one was 5%. Then put your house in the market once you're past due diligence and all that, once your money goes hard. And when you sell your house that you just owned, dump the equity into the new loan and do what's called a recast. And you're not having to have a contingency in your offer. And that could be the difference in winning and losing.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
And that, you know, if you close in mid-September, your first mortgage payment's not till November 1st. You skip a payment in October. So you've got that time to sell your house without actually having two mortgage payments. That's a big misnomer out there. So that's a good strategy as well.
Well, and if people are first-time home buyers and they are, well, they're thinking, oh, I'm going to buy in 2024 and we need to start getting everything ready to do that. What are things that first-time homebuyers need to make sure that they are doing, and then also what they're not, what they shouldn't be doing? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I could go on for 2 days on that, but talk to a lender first. I mean, most first-time homebuyers, they might get on the internet and find this mortgage calculator, and many times it's not going to be accurate. What I like to do with any buyer, really, but for first-time homebuyers especially, is get on the phone, talk about their employment, talk about how much they have available for a down payment. Is some coming from a family member? Is some, where is it coming from? What does your credit look like? What does your debt look like? And what do your scores look like? And then talk about monthly budget after that. And then that helps me back into a number in terms of a range that they can afford. And at that point, they say, okay, Joy or Jackie, I talked to Skin. I'm pretty comfortable between 270 and 300. And that shrinks the inventory for them. They know when they go look at that, they can afford it and they're comfortable with the payment. And it's just, I try to do everything up front where there's no surprises, right? And for those that might have lower credit, I can help them rebuild that. Or I can say, hey, if you pay this debt down a little bit, you pay this down, you pay this off, if you have the funds to do that, it's not only going to increase your score, but your debt-to-income ratio is going to get us where you need to be. So these things don't happen overnight a lot. They happen sometimes take 6 months, sometimes takes a year, maybe longer. So it's my goal to show them, here's where you need to be to have the monthly payment you want based on how much you put down. And then here's your price point. And then, of course, I'm telling them, you're an FHA candidate, you're a conventional candidate, VA, you know, potentially USDA if they want to live somewhere rural and their debt to income ratios are really good. So I'm doing all that up front. So there's no surprises for y'all. There's no surprises for the buyer. And they understand a pretty finite, you know, price, you know, range. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Well, and we also want to make sure that they don't go, once they are under contract, they don't go out and buy things like new cars.
I tell them that. I do a kickoff.
A house full of furniture.
That's right.
I do a kickoff call before every loan I do when I get the contract. First thing I do is schedule a kickoff call. Go over the whole loan process verbally. They also get an email that basically goes over that too. And it's got, in red, bold letters, keep your credit profile, you know, the same as it's been. Don't go buy a refrigerator. You know, certainly don't go buy a car or a boat or something like that. I've seen it. And, you know, that's just upfront stuff that we have to tell them and really keep repeating it throughout the process.
I feel like, Joy, you and I had someone one time that was buying a house that the Kohl's bill, Kohl's, as in the store, the credit card bill pushed them.
Yeah.
With a ratio issue.
We have to run credit a week before closing to make sure nothing's changed.
Yeah, and I think that they had to, like, go back and pay it down again or something.
I've had somebody quit a job, like, a week before closing. Start their own business, but once you go self-employed, it's a two-year start.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that was fun. There's a lot of do's and don'ts for sure. Yeah. I think we all have seen it all.
Yeah, don't go 1099 if you've been W-2.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, don't. It's okay to change jobs in the middle of the process. I don't recommend it, but sometimes you have to. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if you're going to get paid more mm-hmm. and you're going to better your life, mm-hmm. and you stay W-2, mm-hmm. you know, we can get through that.
Yeah,
but it's when you want to start your own business all of a sudden, 2 weeks before closing, you start getting in trouble.
That's not going to work.
No. Well, if somebody's relocating here, though, and it's a job relocation, that's a difference.
That's a different scenario. The guidelines, depending on the type of loan, typically you get their employment offer letter mm-hmm. that's executed. And as long as they start within 90 days of closing, then we use that as our income.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of times they're locating within the same company. But if they're moving here from Florida and got a job here at a mm-hmm. different company, that's our underwriting tool is the offer, the executed letter. We verify that with the employer, and we can use that and just match up the closing date to the start date and make sure we're within that window.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics. Let's change the subject for just a minute.
Okay.
He's like, what? talk about your family. I mean, I know we're both from here, and my granddaddy, I think, worked for Lamar Potts, which was
my great granddaddy.
And a lot of people, they don't know that.
He was the sheriff here for a long time.
Yeah. And I hear for generations and generations, you always hear all these stories, which I think is really cool. And it's nice to know that. I mean, I know that you left Noonan, and a lot of the people your age was like, I'm never going back there. And then Here we are. We have an influx of people like yourself that moved. Because didn't you live in Atlanta or something?
I did. I always wanted to come back. So yeah. I grew up here, like Joy said. Graduated from Noonan High in 2001. Went to school at University of Georgia. Go Dogs. Two-time defending national champions. And majored actually at risk management insurance. Mm-hmm. And had interned for a company in Atlanta the summer between my fourth and fifth year in college, and got hired full time, and lived in Atlanta for about 10 years, and ended up starting an insurance company with some partners there that still exist to this day. Met my wife on a blind date there. She was at SCAD getting her master's degree in interior design, and she's from Dothan, Alabama, smaller town, bigger than Noonan, but you know, small enough. And we both knew we didn't want to be in Atlanta for the long haul. So we moved back. I did that commute for about 6 months and just realized it wasn't for me. And, you know, I talked to some insurance companies around here, but kind of decided to switch it up and, you know, get in the mortgage business. And that was right around when my first daughter was born. So I don't really know what I was thinking, but I did. it's been the best decision I ever made. That daughter is Mary Alice. She's 8. Mm-hmm. She's in second grade at Elm Street. I have a daughter, Hatcher, who's 6. She's in kindergarten at Elm Street. And then Little Skin, who is the 6th skin in a long line of skins. Mm-hmm. He's the caboose. He's 4.
And he, goes
to Methodist preschool.
Call him Little Skin?
Yeah, but he doesn't like it. He said, I want to be called Big Skin. So we're having to switch it up.
Okay, so is Skin a family name then?
Yes. Okay. So my real name is Arthur Brannon Edge V. I've never been called Arthur by anybody. Like if somebody walked in and said Arthur, I wouldn't even turn around. And my great-great-granddad, he was down in LaGrange, and he started going bald and was real skinny, like in high school early on, and everybody nicknamed him Skin. And he had a son, Arthur Jr., and everybody called him Little Skin, and it's been passed down from generation to generation. So when I had 2 girls out of the gate, I was like, man, I'm going to be the one to ruin this.
That's funny.
Luckily, third time was the charm. So,
well, it's like,
yeah, it's a different name, especially when you tack on Edge to it. But
I wonder
it's always been kind of normal to me.
Our grandson is Richard Thomas III, and he's Brother Bear, so they call him Bear. So I wonder when he has a son, if he'll be Little Bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when my granddad was still alive, he passed away late last year, but Christmas got kind of confusing. We'd have like a bunch of skins in the room, and somebody would say Skin, and everybody would turn around, you know. So.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the golf outing.
Yeah. I'm very involved with the Board of Realtors here locally, and I'm the chair of the Gabe Long Memorial Golf Tournament, which is held every October. It's on October 11th this year. We've got 30 teams. We're booked. All the sponsors are pretty much done getting the auction items together. It's going to be out at White Oak with a shotgun start at 10 in the morning, and then dinner and awards and, you know, like I said, the auction afterwards. It's always a great day, and is the local board's, it's our biggest revenue generator in terms of events that we have. So it means a lot that they asked me to chair, and I've got a great team around me, and I'm really excited for it to get here.
Part of the proceeds goes to scholarships to local high school students.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Joy.
Yeah. Yeah, just so people will know.
Yeah.
It's fun with a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun with a purpose.
It's a great day.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, if someone wanted to reach out to you and get more information or get pre-qualified for a loan, how do they do that?
So you can reach me a lot of different ways. Cell phone is 770-316-4162. That's my work, personal, and home phone. I just got it all in one. Text me if needed as well. Email is skinE@fairwaymc.com. My website is www.skinedgefairway.com. I've got a link there to apply for a mortgage too. I typically like to talk to the people on the phone first before they do that, but some people go ahead and just submit it and then we talk. And then I've got, you know, my Instagram page out there as well, Skin Edge Mortgage, which I try to update pretty frequently with news and tidbits about the mortgage industry, and I'll blurb this podcast too.
Yes, share it away.
I will.
We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
This
just
is
being
fun.
Here. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm Jackie Robertson.
I'm Joy Barnes.
And we are Between the J's.